Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about China. Our article is by Chongko Ping, Dan Strumpf, and Francis Yoon for the Wall Street Journal and is entitled, Beijing Attacks America's New Investment Blacklist. Beijing condemned a move by President Trump to block American investments in some key Chinese companies following a steep sell-off in shares of several of the targets. The executive order, signed Thursday, bars American companies and individuals from investing in 31 companies identified by the U.S. as aiding the modernization of the People's Liberation Army, as well as China's intelligence and security services. The ban would cover stocks and other instruments like bonds and derivatives. It affects some U.S.-traded securities and bonds run by major American institutions and could prompt banks and asset managers to assess their exposure. China's government called the measure malicious, abusive, and unreasonable. This will seriously damage not only the legitimate rights and interests of Chinese enterprises, but also the interests of investors from other countries, including those from the U.S., said Wang Wenbin, a spokesman for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The Chinese side urges the U.S. side to correctly view China's policy of military-civilian integration and development, to stop wantonly suppressing Chinese enterprises under the pretext of national security, and to rescind the erroneous decisions. The executive order rippled through markets on Friday, with shares in the listed subsidiaries of China's three major phone and internet providers tumbling in Hong Kong trading, while bonds in affected companies also fell. The lists of targets includes aerospace, shipbuilding, construction, communications, and technology companies. The order bans buying or investing in stocks, funds, or other financial products that involve the firms. Investors have until November of next year to divest their holdings. However, several aspects of the order remain unclear, such as whether it covers listed subsidiaries. Some blacklisted companies are large state-owned conglomerates which aren't publicly traded, but have multiple units that are. The prohibition also doesn't take effect until January 11th, just days before a Democrat administration under Joe Biden is set to take office. Investors will likely turn to the U.S. Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control, which enforces economic sanctions, for guidance on how the new order will be enforced. Whether the rule is extended to listed subsidiaries remains uncertain, wrote Jefferies telecommunications analyst in a report on Friday, adding that it was also unclear if the rules covered offshore registered funds managed by U.S.-based asset managers. In addition, the analyst wrote the order could be reversed or its implementation relaxed depending on President-elect Biden's overall China policy. Video surveillance equipment maker Hangzhou Hikvision Digital Technology Company said its inclusion on the list wasn't merited and it would continue to cooperate with the U.S. government. We have shown time and again Hikvision is not a Chinese military company, a spokesman said. Hikvision is independently operated and publicly traded. Hikvision has never participated in any research and development work for military applications. Our business and ownership information has always been publicly available. Some bonds issued by targeted companies also sold off on Friday. A credit investor in Hong Kong said he was surprised the market didn't sell off more, as it had done when Huawei Technologies Company and Semiconductor Manufacturing International Corp were previously targeted by the U.S. government. He said that could reflect expectations that Mr. Biden might reverse the order. Analysts at Jefferies wrote that the order could be reversed or its implementation relaxed, depending on President-elect Joe Biden's overall China policy. Raphael Huang and Zhu Wei contributed to this article. Okay, so a couple things need to be said from the start. One, Joe Biden is not the president-elect. I mean, he might be, but he isn't. The election process is not over. So until we have a certified election and the Electoral College has a decision, or if it goes to the House of Representatives for a decision, we don't have a president-elect. And calling Biden the PE seems like either wishful thinking or sycophantism. Neither are good looks. Two, I don't trust a single word that the Chinese government says. They could tell me that the sky is blue, and I'd go get my eyes checked. That's how much I distrust their evil, totalitarian, corrupt, murderous government. Three, as the article said, things could very easily change, and the order could be reversed. But here's what I want to focus on today, and what I think is important. Whether all 31 of these companies truly has a link to the Chi-Com military-industrial complex is actually moot. And it's moot because money is fungible. And because money is fungible, any money that goes to China will, at least in part, go to the strengthening and modernization of the Chinese military. And that's an objectively bad thing. It is objectively bad for an expansionist, murderous, totalitarian regime to increase their fighting capabilities. Now, you might say, but Luke, if China becomes rich, they'll become a democracy. Yeah. Okay, yeah. We've all heard that tired line before, and it just ain't true. China may be moving out of communism by fits and starts, but it's no less an authoritarian autocracy now than it was 30 years ago. And it's just now that they're transforming into a nationalist, fascist police state instead of a communist police state. That's not an improvement. The concentration camps for Muslim Uyghurs, forced abortions, saber-rattling, trademark and copyright infringement, slave labor, all these things show that China is a bad actor. And China is a bad actor. And the only people who say China isn't a bad actor are liars who know better or useful idiots who don't. Again, because money is fungible, any investment in China, not just these 31 companies, but any investment in China is an investment in the Chinese military. And I think it's a bad thing to invest in the Chinese military. I think it's immoral. I think helping China is a bad thing. I think it's immoral. But don't expect any of our social and political betters to get on board with this. Don't expect the NBA to start divesting from China. Don't expect Facebook and Google or Disney and Netflix to stop investing in China. They won't because they're cynical. The drivers of culture in America are saying that the scientific method and logic are racist. But China can put Muslim Uyghurs in concentration camps, and that's okay. The wokesters tell us that silence is violence. But forced abortions? Nope. No reason to speak about that at all. I mean, what about a Politburo's right to choose? There's so little real public racism in America that we've invented terms like microaggression to try to conjure up hate crimes. But do our elites talk about China, where there's real and durable racism against non-Han Chinese? I mean, I could go on, but you get the point. We have a hyperabundance of criticism about America, and yet China doesn't seem to really ever receive any. I guess that means that China must be beyond reproach. Or, and I know this is crazy, or maybe the rich and powerful in this country have far too much money to make off of China, and since China doesn't tolerate dissent, they keep their mouths shut to keep their pockets full. Is that a cynical view? Maybe. But I can't see how it would be false. And the fact is that companies that knowingly aid China are knowingly hurting America for their own benefit. This is bad behavior. This is immoral behavior. And frankly, the American public ought to have the guts to not buy products that are made in China whenever possible. Why? Because China is a bad actor who wants to aggress and conquer and hurt America. I think we should stop buying from China because they are a bad actor who hates us. And I don't see any good faith argument around that fact. Trying to profit off of a friendship with your enemy is either treason or stupidity. But you know, this is not just something that affects geopolitics and economics. This is a spiritual concept as well. And in fact, it's far more important in the spiritual realm than it is in the geopolitical and economic realm. You see, brothers and sisters, an awful lot of Christians have forgotten that the world isn't our friend. In John 15, we read, beginning in verse 18, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." This is Jesus speaking, by the way. "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." Okay, so let's look at this and let's find all the places where Jesus tells us that the world is going to love Christians. Okay, searching. Yeah, it's not there. The world hates Christians because the world hates God. And therefore, for us to try to be friendly with the world is like trying to be friends with your sworn enemy. It ain't gonna work. The world hates us. Not because of anything we can change, but because of Christ. And if the world hates us because it hates Christ, then there's nothing we can do to change that because they will never stop hating Christ. So if Christians want to be loved by the world, there are a couple things that they can do. And these won't guarantee your love, but maybe you'll be hated a little less openly because you identify with Christ less clearly. Okay, so how to be friends with the world? 1. Be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is a hateful doctrine to the world. The gospel says that men are wretched sinners deserving of hell and that there is nothing in man worth saving but God, out of his mercy, because he delights to save, God saves. The world hates this. It is a rebuke. It insists that God is God. It insists that God is worthy of love and that all our affections are misdirected and even evil. It insists that we are helpless. It insists we come to God as spiritual beggars. The world hates the gospel. So, if you want to cozy up to the world, be ashamed of the gospel. 2. Act like a worldling. Salt stings the wounded, and light burns in the eyes of those who love and live in darkness. Being salt and light causes nothing but trouble. So stop doing it. Letting your light shine simply guarantees that people who love the dark will try to extinguish it. Don't be extinguished. I mean, what will it profit a man to save his soul but lose his life? Why would you lose this whole world to gain your soul? That's a sucker's bet. The world is real and angry. It's safest to live in the now. So don't let your light shine. Don't be salt. In everything, do as the world. Insist on letting your mind remain conformed to the pattern of this world, because the moment you metamorphosize, you're going to make enemies. 3, and this is, I think, probably the most important. 3, make Jesus palatable. Let's get one thing straight, okay? Jesus went out of his way to make it clear that he does not compromise. He doesn't compromise on sin at all. Fornication is still a sin in Jesus' eyes, as is homosexuality, as is transvestism, as is transgenderism, as is abortion, as is greed, as is pride, as is lying, as is dishonoring your parents, as is loving anything more than God. Jesus is immovable on these things, and worse, his little lackey Moses condemns any and all who do these kinds of things. Jesus, as the Bible describes him, is all about patriarchal, religious, messianic Zionism. He's so exclusivist. Making friends with the world means insisting on a gay black Jesus, or maybe a woman Jesus, or maybe the Che Guevara communist Jesus, or the Jesus, any Jesus who didn't really exist. There are all kinds of versions of people who come in his name, and to the world, they're all better than the genuine article. Jesus, real Jesus, he's a bigoted, racist homophobe who must be rejected in our age of tolerance and acceptance. If you want to be friends with the world, find out what kind of Jesus they'll tolerate and rally behind that Jesus. Get behind that Jesus. And maybe the world won't hate you so much. I think that these are really helpful notes on how to be friends with the world. I mean, of course, James, in his little letter, he says this. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to become a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says, without reason, that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. This is why the Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up." Yeah, James tells us that trying to be friends with the world makes us God's enemies. I mean, what did he know, right? Well, I think he knew that if American Christians continue to be more worried about being liked by the world than being loved by God, then we're going to find ourselves in some very serious trouble. I think we need to take James' advice and repent. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to his glory.